so Big Pharma can sell us alien contraceptive pills. Or, if you'd rather get some rational news, check out Radio Free Thinker, the radio show / podcast that promotes skepticism, critical thinking, and science education. Every Tuesdays at 4 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Morning.
Good day to you, sir.
Hey, wait a minute, what the hell?
Getting real tired of you ducking me, man. Yeah?
Oh, my God.
Thank you to all the donors who pledged their financial support during the CITR on-air fund drive. We are moved by your generosity, and thank you for enabling us to purchase some new equipment and improve our programming. Do remember to stop by the station, pay your pledges, and pick up your prizes. We look forward to meeting you anytime between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on weekdays. Thank you again for your amazing response. Listen to our happy voices on the air, happier after we purchase new equipment for our studios. Thanks again.
Oh, my God! All right, let's go to the bank.
Welcome, everybody, to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada. The first show of the decade.
Yeah, that's good.
Do I have the right?
And off to a wonderful start.
Joining me in studio for the first, you're here for a half hour today?
Sure.
All right. Well, you don't know?
We'll see.
We'll see. Maybe you'll leave
again
earlier, right?
As I said, off to a good start.
Off to a good start. Wilson Wong from our CITR Sports Department. Wilson, Happy New Year.
You too.
How's the bowl watching going for you?
It was okay.
Are you going to watch? You're not going to watch the Orange Bowl tonight.
No.
Did you watch the Fiesta Bowl?
Yes.
There you go. Were you happy Boise State won?
Yeah.
I like it. I won money betting on them, but I like it because I've got a great aunt and great uncle that live in Sun Valley. And they're into it. Okay, enough of me. On to the show today, folks. We're going to have with us at 5 o'clock, Vern Knopp, assistant coach, UBC Thunderbird men's basketball. 5:30, Milan Dragicevic, head coach, UBC Thunderbird men's hockey. And at 5:45, we are efforting a member of the UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team. But to start us off, the new decade here on Wiener's Barbecue and for UBC Athletics, the athletic director, Bob Phillip. Bob, thanks for coming on. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Daryl?
I'm very good. Happy New Year.
Yeah, same to you. Who was your last guest in the last decade?
I didn't do it, actually. Jeff Sargent did it, and it was head coach of women's hockey.
There you go.
Nancy
Wilson.
Yeah, Nancy Wilson.
So, a good trivia question for you, and you passed.
With us on the line, Bob Phillip. And you know, Bob, I expect a very exciting year here at UBC, this 2010 year. We, of course, have the Olympics coming up. Perhaps by the end of it, you're going to be joining the NCAA. You've got several teams that are, you know, perhaps the favorite for national championships. But we have to start it off, Bob. We got to start off the new year. You are currently without a head coach in football. You were supposed to interview these four final candidates in the middle of December. That's been now pushed off to, I think, the middle of January, I'm being told. Bob, what is currently the status? What's going on? The search for the new football coach.
Daryl, we tried to get a football coach hired before the holidays, and I guess it was, in retrospect, a little ambitious because from the time the season ended, and we knew that we would have interest from people involved with other programs. So from the time the season ended until we got around to going through the process for applications and such, we couldn't get it done in the time that we wanted to. So we postponed it. We really didn't want to go in that last week just before Christmas. It becomes problematic to do that. So, and now we're in a situation where we're trying to get members of our committee. We have one coming from Calgary, and we're trying to put it together so that everybody can make it. One of the people on our committee is from Calgary, Doug Mitchell. So that's just been a bit of an issue for us. Our target right now is to make an announcement of our head coach on, say, the 20th of January. That's a Wednesday. And that's what we're looking to do. I know it seems like a long time, but when you factor in the holidays, you know, we hired Lou Delaurier in May, and we really put him behind the eight ball, and that was we're not going to get in that situation again. So we're targeting that. We think that we'll get it done for that by that time, and you know, we have Dino looking after the program right now, and we know that he'll be doing a good job, and we'll go from there.
Bob, I was told almost conflicting things by members of your own athletic department of why it was you're supposed to interview these candidates in the middle of December. Now, as you said, the middle of January, and it's going to be into the end of January when you hope to announce the coach. I was told two things. I was told there was one of the candidates couldn't make it, one of your committee members couldn't make it, but somebody else told me that all the candidates could make it, and it was simply one of the members of your committee couldn't make it. Can you comment on it, and why was there a delay?
Well, they're both right. There was a committee member who couldn't make it. There was also one candidate that we were going to do by phone who couldn't come for that interview. But more importantly, we also had a deadline that was set with HR for applications. I mean, we are a university, and we have to go through certain process. We didn't do it when we hired Ted, because Ted was full-time on our staff, and we promoted him, so we didn't go. We interviewed him, and we interviewed Gary Echeverry, both people who were on our staff at the time, so we didn't have to go through posting the position the same way. So we had a deadline of the Friday, and we were supposed to interview on the Wednesday. Well, of course, some of the applications came in on Friday. They weren't received until Monday, and by the time we got that information out to all our candidates, all our committee members to go through it, it just became problematic to make a determination as to whether we should interview one more person or not. So it just it became the right thing to do. Look, we've been struggling on the field for a long time now, and we want to make sure we do this right. And no matter who we hire, I mean, at the end of the day, we'll make an announcement, and people could say, well, we thought from day one they were going to hire that person. That may well be true too, but there's a process to go through that is really important now so that people are satisfied that we did it the right way. We're really confident in the ability of our committee, and we're happy with the applications that we've received as well.
Because, Bob, I guess a criticism you can make on the way this is being done is you say you want to hire the right guy, but isn't hiring the right guy doing in a timely fashion? Because, this isn't too late, but the fact is you are losing out on recruits as we speak right now.
I don't know if that's true. I think that there are some students who make up their mind where to go, but typically, that's not the case. January is there's a lot of time to get people into school. I think doing it in May, like we did that year, was tough on Lou, but we've got someone that's out there recruiting right now who's a big part of our program, and we think that that's going to, it's not going to, I mean, look, ideally we would have done it in December, but we couldn't, so we're doing it as soon as we can in January.
Bob Phillip right now with us, the athletic director for the UBC Thunderbirds. Bob, this program, you look at what it was doing in the late 90s and really what happened in the 2000 decade. You never won a playoff game in that decade. You, of course, were the athletic director for that entire decade. You went through three head coaches in those 10 years. Looking back, and what are you hoping not to have happen again? What went wrong last decade?
I think it's just a matter of not having the right mix in coaching. I think in 1997, Casey Smith was in his third year. He had turned a team around and won the Vanier Cup in a very short time. The history there was, of course, Casey passed away at 42. It was a very untimely situation, and everybody felt bad. And Dave Johnson, I mean, we know the story. Dave Johnson was handpicked by Casey to replace him, and Dave had a really good team that year. We probably should have won again in 98, and that didn't happen. And then when Dave had to resign because of the situation, we went with, we were getting a lot of pressure locally to hire a high school person, and we did. We hired Jay and Prepchuk, and then it just didn't seem to work out. Jay went back to high school, and then we went with Lou, and then with Ted. I mean, it's just been trying to get that right mix. It's tough when football teams start to go down. It's tough to turn them around. And if you take a look, there were a few seasons in the last few years where we were either 4-4 or 5-3, and there were probably three games that we lost in those seasons where we could have been 7-1. We had some pretty good players, but I think that you just have to have the right mix in terms of coaching, and that's what we intend to do, and we'll see. But when we've had solid coaching, we've been successful, and I think that I think that's the whole issue. If you take a look at Simon Fraser, they went 3 years. They were in the national semifinal 1 year, and then went 3 years without winning a game. And then they made a coaching change. They didn't win a game for the first year that Dave was there, and now they came right back and we're in the final again. So I think that Calgary's the same. Calgary struggled for a number of years and brought in, got Blake Neil and have been very successful. It hasn't worked out the same way in Alberta, but most times if Saskatchewan's been successful because it's had coaching for a number of years. We wanted to do that. I mean, continuity is really important, and we had Frank Smith was here for many years, and then we intended Casey to be here for many years. It didn't work out that way.
Bob, you know, I've been, because it's hard to find out from you guys who these candidates are, so I've been going through these message boards. You're not a big fan of these message boards, are you?
Me? No, why?
Well, they tend to not enjoy what you've done here at UBC. How do you respond to, you know, some of the complaints? I've just been reading these boards, and how do you respond to some of these comments that, you know, you as the athletic director here at UBC, you haven't paid enough attention to football? How do you respond to that?
Well, you know, when you're the athletic director, you have to take responsibility for who you hire to coach the team. And so certainly I take full responsibility for who we hired the last time. We didn't open the job up. We hired someone from our program, and it didn't work out. So, yeah, I mean, that you have to be responsible. We've had a lot of coaches in other sports that have been very successful. And, you know, we were successful, like you said, in the late 90s, and we haven't been able to do that. And the only thing that we've done differently since then is have coaches that you know, we've given them, we think, a reasonable time to be successful, and it hasn't worked out, so we've made coaching changes. That's not ideally the way you want to go. You want to have somebody that comes in, like I said, when Casey took the team over, it didn't go right away, but he went 3-5, 5-3, and then won the Vanier Cup. So, you know, you got to have some continuity, and we tried to have some continuity, but continuity is only good if you're moving in the right direction or you're being successful.
Bob, so when are we hoping to have this interview process? And you mentioned the date, January 20th, where you hope to have the coach hired. What are we looking at to have the interview process done by?
We're going to look at that week. We'll do everything that week. We'll have the day or two of interviews, and then we'll make an offer, make a selection, and announce it right away.
And it was four people being interviewed for the job. What are we at right now?
Four.
Still at four. Okay. And one name that I did read on the boards, and I would really just like you, I'm just going to ask you the one name, Dave Johnson, head coach at SFU. He's not a candidate for this job, is he?
Well, I'm not commenting on whether anybody is a candidate or not. We told all the people that applied that we would keep it confidential. And, I mean, if they want to announce it, that's their business, but we're not confirming or denying who's applied.
Okay, cool. One last thing, Bob. Wilson Wong with me in the studio. Wilson, we got a question with what's going on with the schedule for the Olympics, when that's going on. We're hearing a few things.
Well, you know, we're really glad that the Olympics are coming to Vancouver because we got a brand new hockey rink and it's good for the city. But it's a little more difficult when you're trying to schedule events around it. I mean, I'm sure the Vancouver Giants are trying to deal with it. It's the same for us because we've got games here. So we've had to move a couple of, as you know, hockey's now playing in the Father Bauer again. We've moved a couple of games with Saskatchewan somewhere else, I think to Burnaby. We have no problem with anybody else in our or any of our other teams playing at home other than in the playoffs where it could be problematic for teams either getting to play us or for us getting out to play somebody else. Ironically, it's the first year we've done this. The league decided to switch in basketball and play instead of playing in the division in the playoffs, having a crossover. So instead of us playing, say, Simon Fraser or Victoria or Trinity, we're going to be playing somebody from Winnipeg, for example, and it's going to be more problematic. It's unfortunate it happened this year instead of next year.
And how is the process coming along in terms of determining where you would, if you're hosting, where you would host a playoff series against a team that's coming in from, say, Alberta, Saskatchewan, or Manitoba?
Well, it's a big problem, and the league has asked, they're putting pressure on UBC, Trinity Western, and Simon Fraser to work that out, and we're going to talk to the other schools because we notified them, we raised the issue 2 years ago about the Olympics and this very issue about how would we host playoff games. We thought the league might either do something schedule-wise to play around it or not change the playoff format so that if teams in the Pacific Division would be playing each other, and that wouldn't have the same issue about teams trying to come in by plane or trying to find places to stay, or at least booking flights or booking hotel rooms way out in advance when the prices were lower. Nobody really did anything, and now they're saying to us, well, what are you guys planning? Well, I don't know what we're planning because we'll be here, but, I mean, if the league tells us we have to play a playoff series somewhere else, then we're going to have to try and get there. Originally, we thought we might have to play in Kelowna, but Simon Fraser had no other plan, and neither did Trinity. So it wasn't just up to us to move somewhere else. I mean, there, somebody else could, they could be home as well. So we're going to work it out. I mean, there's no easy solution. We're going to just talk to the league and see what the situation is going to be.
And
hockey, of course, we'd have to play. Well, yeah. Hockey now, it's very unlikely hockey's going to host in the playoffs because you have to finish first or second now to do that, and so that's probably not going to happen. But we knew that we wouldn't have a hockey rink, but we do have a basketball facility and we have a volleyball facility. So,
but as far as we know, we don't know whether, even if these teams, say men's basketball and women's volleyball, if they are finishing high enough to host, we don't know exactly where they would host these series yet, do we?
No, we know what the gym. Well, we know we could host them here, but the question is, can somebody? I mean, it's not a matter of hosting it in somewhere in Vancouver. We can play at War Gym. The question is, what's the league going to rule with a team trying to get here? I mean, typically in the playoffs, you don't make your travel arrangements until the week before, but you know, there's been it's a very different situation this year in Vancouver. I'm not sure what happened in Calgary years ago, but we've got a big problem here for people trying to get into Vancouver and finding a place to stay, especially for a team. So we've tried to get the league to take some action. The league hasn't taken any action, and now they're putting the onus on us. And I'm not sure what the solution is, short of us saying we'll play away. But, I mean, for us to get to Winnipeg, other than when we get there, there'd be a place to stay. But getting flights out of Vancouver aren't going to be easy either, at least a week before. So we're going to have to continue to work with the league to see what the solution is.
Sounds fun, Bob. Sounds
and
fun.
Like I said, it's not just UBC. It impacts SFU and Trinity as well.
But this is something that UBC as a school brought up 2 years ago. But
it was brought up 2 years ago just to say that it may be worthwhile trying to book some flights, at least from, because you could book flights from, say, Calgary. Anybody coming here from the eastern part of the conference could come in through Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
So we could have done that and canceled them if we didn't get them. There would have been a loss. Or we could have booked our host hotel. We could have booked a number of rooms if the league would pay for it, because it's not up to us to pay. It's the visiting teams that book, right? So we suggested those things a few years ago, and nothing's happened. And now we're in the situation, like I said, compounded by the fact that the playoff rules have changed. You know, in the last couple of years, we've hosted Victoria and Simon Fraser and Trinity Western, no big problem. But certainly this year, there's a potential for a problem.
So not only are flights the problem, you don't have accommodations, nothing's booked for these teams.
Yeah, well, we don't need them. We're home, right? But somebody coming in here is going to have a problem. And like I said, I don't know. I mean, ultimately, it's going to come down to somebody forcing a school to find a place, maybe stay away out of town and bus in every day, or forcing us to go and play somewhere else. But we don't have, the league hasn't made a decision yet. And as I said, it's not just about UBC. It affects us in hockey, but only because we know we don't have a rink, but we're not in the playoffs. We're not in the picture of hosting playoffs anyway, but in terms of basketball and volleyball, certainly we are right now in a position to host. Well, we're in a position to host in women's volleyball, men's basketball, and women's basketball.
Well, Bob, if it helps you guys, we've got a couple couches here in the CITR lounge.
Well, yeah, we could put a team up in there. And I know, Daryl, I know you guys will be perfectly happy to broadcast it from wherever it is.
Yeah, let me tell you. Bob Phillip, the athletic director for UBC. Bob, thanks so much for doing this today. Best of luck on that football hunt. This is an important hire, Bob, so get this one right, okay?
Yeah, well, we're on a bit of a roll there in football, so we're going to try and turn it around.
He played along.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. You did. Thanks a lot for doing this, Bob. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bob Phillip, the athletic director, in a good mood there. In a good
it's
mood.
It's nice of him to play along with you, Daryl. It's sometimes hard.
Your thoughts on that? That's an interesting one, though. Before we get into the football, which we've been going on within the show, and I actually spoke with one of the people I can confirm is one of the four candidates, Sean Olson, SFU assistant coach, of course, the last guy to win a playoff game for UBC over 10 years ago now. They didn't win a playoff game that decade, Wilson.
Is that why we didn't do a decade in review show in CITR?
It was a very successful decade, just not in football.
Absolutely, because it was very successful just about every other sport.
Men's volleyball, I don't think, had a great
and
decade. Yeah.
Hockey.
Hey, they won a couple playoff
series. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, there were lots of highlights for just about every other team on campus.
Lots of highlights.
So, but you wanted to talk about the Olympic stuff.
Yeah, that is something, though, isn't it? That,
well,
give UBC credit, they went to the league 2 years ago. They knew it was coming. I mean,
the thing is, we all knew it was coming since 2003.
Is that when we got it?
Yeah, in 2003. And you just figured, okay, well, you know the whole city's basically going to shut down.
Yes.
I mean, when TransLink on their website offers you travel tips or offers you tips on how to deal with the Olympics, and one of them is take a 2-week vacation out of town. I think, you know, it's not going to be smooth sailing. And even if these teams, like Bob said, if they come here, get a hotel room, who knows where, in Langley or Abbotsford or somewhere out there, how on earth are they going to even get into the city? That's going to be hard. You can't even move around in the city during the Olympics.
No.
And
I don't know how I'm going to get from downtown to here to do this show or to broadcast a game or anything.
If you can even get through the, who knows, security.
Yeah.
You know, we have a rink on campus that is going to be an Olympic site, so they are going to be very protective of it. So there's so much stuff that is going to affect people's lives, even if they care about the Olympics or not.
Yeah.
And then on top of this, to say, okay, women's volleyball team, you've gone undefeated. You're the 2-time defending national champions. You've earned the right to host the Final Four, but who knows? Maybe you won't even get to host it. You'll have to travel to somewhere else. You know, it's hard to do that. And, I mean, geez, wouldn't it be nice during that time to host these games, but also get to stay in town to see what's happening during those days? And you won't get to do that. Maybe. I mean, who knows, right? It's just one of those things where it's just going to be a huge hassle for everyone involved. And it just seems like some people weren't really on top of it.
Well, you know, I've been, because I know some people that are flying in for the Olympics. Flights are actually not as crazy as you'd think. They're more than usual, but they're not as, I guess because the airlines, they've got lots of flights coming to Vancouver.
Right,
you know,
right.
So flights are, the prices are pretty normal, but it's accommodations.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to stay in this town.
I mean, everything, unless you want to rent someone's house, rent a room in someone's house, but you can't do that for a team.
No, that might already be gone.
Yeah, and right? you're going to pay, you know, through your nose.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not something you can do with a week before the Olympics or during the Olympics. You can't do that a week before getting rooms for 15 people, say, for a basketball team.
Right.
Or, I mean, they won't be hosting in hockey, but, I mean, can you imagine trying to get hotel rooms for a hockey team?
Right. Well, they're not hosting in hockey anyway. They're not hosting.
I mean, you're still booking rooms for 15, 20 people in Vancouver during the Olympics.
Yeah.
Good luck.
And especially, they're not going to, I mean,
they're not going to know until the week before.
Yeah, it's not done at this point. Was it right of me to offer the couches here right off campus in our lounge?
They're not great couches, I don't think.
They're desperate at this point, though.
Evidently.
They're desperate. The other thing I was going to say to Bob Phillip was, are you going to offer them tents? Would you offer them tents?
See, the thing is,
I'm not joking.
You know what? I don't know if that would be allowed under Olympic security.
Oh, I see.
You know? I don't think they want, you know, people looking like hobos on campus. I'm serious.
Had a little trouble with the headphone here.
You mean you can't hear yourself?
No, I can only hear out of one ear, but we'll just roll with that. You're listening to Wieners Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. So that's a story that's going to be an ongoing one.
I mean, we've asked about this. I mean, last year, earlier, the start of this year, because, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, so many things could happen, but, you know, it's just not something you expect to have still up in the air so close to the actual games. Like, you know, I know Vanock and all those people, they love to talk about how they're on budget and on time, and you're just wondering, like, okay, well, I don't know when I can come on campus. I don't know if teens can come on campus. I don't know if I can access my own high school, you know, that's near campus or near a practice rink. And you're wondering, okay, so when are we going to get to know?
I think one thing that's great about this story, though, and this is just another instance, is there's all this talk of UBC going NCAA.
Yeah.
You watched the Fiesta Bowl.
I did.
That was good.
It was
okay. My point is, I had
problems with it.
My point is, we've been talking about over this, you know, last few months on this show. Of course, the CIS Canada West football standings.
Right.
If you go on the CIS website, I don't know if they've changed it now, but They didn't even list the Canada West standings properly. They didn't include shootout losses and overtime losses. And, of course, the Canada West men's and women's basketball schedule this year.
Right.
Another instance, the Canada West. And, I'll say this. Bob Phillip, I talked to him on the phone about a month ago, and he said to me, because he was complaining to me about the CIS standings of the Canada West hockey.
Right.
And he goes to me, and people wonder why we want to go NCAA. This is another instance right here.
I think even if we didn't talk to him or any of the other people, you can tell. I mean, it's just not
run properly.
It doesn't look like it's run by professionals.
No.
And it doesn't give off that feeling that it is a top tier, maybe amateur, but even if you're amateur, you can run it in a professional way.
Amateur sports is huge in North America.
It is.
Yeah.
But you've got to run it in a professional way and do the best you can when it comes to making life easier for everyone involved.
Yeah.
And if you don't, people don't want to be a part of it.
We don't know if we're broadcasting the playoffs this year. We don't know what's going on.
Well, I mean, the thing is, we would like to broadcast men's basketball, women's basketball, but that would first of all include
knowing where the games would be
and booking trips and all that. And to be honest, if I were to come out from home and to come out to UBC to broadcast the game, what would take maybe 35 minutes could end up taking 2-3 extra hours.
Yeah.
So
I don't know if we're going to be able to do it anyway. I honestly don't. Yeah.
I mean, who knows?
And that's not UBC's fault.
No.
But the fact is, the Canada West is just letting this. It's almost like they're hoping it's just going to work itself out. You know, they don't want to deal with it. Your thoughts on hearing what Bob Phillips said about the hunt for the football coach there? Your thoughts on that?
I probably would have to disagree with him when it comes to recruits. I think because UBC is such a hard school to get into, first of all, that, it would be hard to say, hey, we've got a coach in January. Yeah, he's probably going to go out and grab his own staff, and we're going to go out and recruit, and that's going to be into February. You know, it's going to be hard to say, okay, last minute, recruit, get into UBC. That's going to be hard.
Right.
No offense, but it's not like you're in Manitoba.
Yeah, where you need a high school diploma to get in. At least, yeah.
I mean, that's the point, right? Yeah. It's going to be hard to get into UBC. It's hard to get accommodation in Vancouver. It's hard to just get that whole process going. And plus, like it or not, you are competing still against SFU. You're competing against guys who want to play at SFU for Dave Johnson, who maybe want to play NCAA D2, and SFU's got an earlier sort of recruiting deadline that they have to meet for the NCAA, and so you're not only just going up against your own deadline, but if your competitor is out there inspired to get the best players before, say, April or earlier, that's what you're competing against.
Yeah.
And I can't say for sure whether UBC has lost a recruit or two to SFU. I have no idea. But, I know that Bob had said Dino Jeremiah is out there recruiting for UBC. And as good as Dino is and as great a guy as he is, not even he can guarantee he'll be employed by the end of this whole process. Right? I think that's
how's a player,
a fair comment.
Yeah, and how's a player going to go to a team that, in essence, has a sitting duck head coach for all you know?
Right.
Well, you have no idea what that program's going to be.
And we can't assume who is going to be the head coach just because of who we talk to. We don't know who they're going to hire, right? You can't just assume that they're going to hire someone. And it's not like the recruits can even talk to any of these supposed candidates right now anyways.
I went on this message board today, and Bob Phillip kind of avoided the question. I was seeing if I could get something out of him there.
Well, but I mean,
they rip him apart on that message board.
But it's a message board.
I know. But one of the things I thought was completely ridiculous was Dave Johnson is apparently one of the finalists for this job. And I was just hoping Bob Phillip would deny that. I asked that question, right?
You did?
I'm just hoping Bob's going to say, yeah, that's ridiculous. He wouldn't even deny that. Is Dave Johnson actually a potential candidate here?
Well, the thing is, just because he doesn't deny, you can't make that like big leap from one point to another.
That's true, but there was no denial made, right? You know what I mean? Here's what I.
Maybe it was so ridiculous that he just said, "That's absurd."
That's absurd. I agree.
But you love that message board.
That's awful.
You've had a great history with that message board.
Yeah, they were dissing me like 10 years ago on that board. Gary Etcheverry mentioned as one of the candidates for this job.
Yep.
According to Julio Caravata, when he was on with me about a month ago, when this story was hopefully coming to its conclusion, Gary Etcheverry is not a candidate for this job.
As far as he knows.
Jacques Chapdelaine, apparently, not a candidate for this job.
Right.
Adam Rita's name, it's been popping up. Julio thinks he's a candidate. He's not basing that on talking to Rita specifically. But that's a potential, because there are four guys here. And it's still 4C. That was one of the interesting things also is when I talked to Bob Phillip when they initially delayed the interview process by a month, is they were thinking it might be up to 5 or 6 by the time they do it.
Right.
But it looks like it's still at the 4. Dino Jeremia, we're quite certain, is one of those 4. And I did speak to Sean Olson today, and he can confirm that he is one of those 4.
So we've got at least half of the field. And, the thing is, you just from the two guys that you've mentioned, two very good candidates.
Local. Yeah.
I'm sure would do a good job here at UBC. But again, it's hard. I think hard on these people to not know going into the new year whether their job is going to be here or somewhere else, or if they have a job in football at all.
Well, where Sean Olson's sort of in at least a good spot is, according to him, he's sort of been given that SFU's told him, okay, you can... No, you know what I mean.
I know.
You can work for us. You can recruit for us. And then if you get the UBC job, great. If not...
That's great, too.
You're our offensive coordinator. He at least has that.
Right.
Dino Jeremia, which is actually a question we should probably ask. I should have asked Bob Phillip. If he doesn't get the job, is he guaranteed the defensive coordinator position here?
I just think that would be... If you're going to hire a coach...
He's got to bring in his own people.
You've got to let him or just do the job and let them make their decisions. You can't, you can't, as an athletic director, you can't be meddling in, like, the coaching staff positions of, like, 16 teams, right?
Right.
So I think that's the hard part, right? To not know whoever is going to be hired as the new coach, not know what he wants.
Yeah. Because I talked to Sean Olson today, and he said, like, he's recruiting for SFU.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know if he's going to... be there.
Right.
He says it's interesting, but he says where it's very different is they all know Dave Johnson's there.
Yeah, exactly.
They all know the head coach is there. So that's the... Dave Johnson's not a candidate here, okay? He's not one of the candidates. He will be coaching SFU. He's apparently got... of course, Lou DeLaurie left as their defensive coordinator. They apparently got over 100 applicants for their defensive coordinator position. Yeah, first year of NCAA Division II, and he apparently has it down to 5 candidates. I'm willing to assume that the guy who's hiring a defensive coordinator and has it down to 5 candidates is not one of the finalists for UBC's head coaching position in under 2 weeks here. So,
what a fun time to be around UBC, isn't it? I mean, 2010 is going to be, it's just going to be a strange, unusual.
When do we cannonball and start figuring out what's going on with the NCAA? Because that one is just a wow story.
Oh,
and it's the most significant of all stories.
It is.
There's no question about that. The way I'm looking at it is we follow the teams, and then once April hits or March hits, we have to do it. You know what the beautiful part of the NCAA is? Talking to the people of the athletic department, they don't know what's going on. because it's not up to them anymore. It's a, we got to find this president. Who's the president? I know Obama's a president, but he's not the president here.
We've got a,
is it Putin? I'll shut up now.
We should bring out a red bat phone. We can call up the president.
Who is the president on this campus?
Dr. Stephen Toop.
We got to get him on. Figure out what he's doing. After the Olympics.
That would be quite the shock to him, I think.
Why? Why wouldn't he give us an interview?
Well, he might.
We're a student radio station. He's the president of the students.
I don't know. He would need some preparation for you, though.
Ah, please. I don't know. Are we at this point willing to give UBC some slack here with this? Because I really wasn't happy when they did the delay. Are you happy? Are you satisfied with the reason they've given for the delay? I'm really not.
I didn't want to be too cheeky with Bob,
yeah.
But I'm just thinking, never has not anyone heard of a phone before?
They even have iChat video on Macs now, too, yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm sure that's something they've looked at.
Yeah.
But I mean, I just, and I know Doug Mitchell is a very big guy in terms of...
He's got his name on the hockey arena.
Exactly. Yeah. But, again... We do have the technology.
But we don't want to spend a lot of money.
I mean, I am assuming it would cost more to fly the guy out here and get a hotel room for him. But it's just unusual, you know? Yeah. I mean, not unusual because Bob did say they have hired a guy into May. So not unusual, I guess. But it's just... It's weird because you desperately want to get the right guy.
Yeah.
You desperately do not want to make the wrong decision, I guess, again, if you look back at it. But you've also got to make sure it's timely before you just, you know.
Well, you don't want to put this guy into a hole right
exactly.
off the bat,
you
right?
Just you just hamstrung him right from the start. And then,
yeah. great beginning, right?
And then you go, okay, fine, well, you know. It's not a good start.
I mean,
and puts him under the pressure right away.
I compare it to Notre Dame football, and we talked about this before.
We are a little different from Notre Dame football.
Well, the premier college football job probably in North America.
Right.
Right. And they took about a week after Charlie Weiss got fired to hire their head coach, and UBC's taken...
But this is not the premier job that, say, everyone in the country has to have.
Oh, so you think Cincinnati just sort of said, we want you. But they didn't. It didn't seem like they really interview people. Not that I know. You know what I mean, right?
Yeah, like, but you also got to understand that Notre Dame is sort of, whether it's justified or not, it is the job.
No, and that's my point. If they're only going to take a week.
Right, but then everyone's clamoring for that job.
Right, okay.
Right? So, I mean, if you say you had a wish list of five coaches, chances are... Three or four of those five are clamoring for that job.
But it sounds like here at UBC, they've delayed it a month. You had four candidates ready to go in the middle of December. You got the same four candidates a month later. You know what I'm saying, right?
Like, yeah, but I guess he explained the whole...
Yeah, their reason behind
human
it.
Human resources just, problem. And
that's a good one, actually. That's a good one, actually.
In the end, if they hire the right guy... And this guy wins. No one's going to remember this.
No, that's very true.
Right?
That's very true.
We just remember all this other stuff because the coaches either weren't successful or didn't get a chance to be successful.
Yeah. And he did also agree to me there that the aught decade, not so good here.
Why does everyone call it that?
Because it's kind of cool to say.
I think it just sounds...
What do you call it? The O's?
I don't call it anything.
The zeros? See, nobody even knows. What's this one called?
I actually call it the decade from hell.
The decade from hell.
Because it was really a crappy decade.
We'll save that for another day. Nobody didn't. He didn't try to muddle through that.
No,
Bob Phillip. He
just said, that is my responsibility.
Yeah. And he took that one. He took that one.
Even though you brought it up through the whole message board thing, which was...
A little cheesy on my part.
Well... I didn't think you needed the message board.
No, I should have just done it, eh? But
you love the message board, right?
Oh, it's awful. It's awful. It's like I don't smoke cigarettes. I read that message board, you know? It's like my dirty thing. The other one, so Sean Olson, a candidate still. And do you think it's going to be Sean Olsen? I still do think it's going to be Sean Olsen.
I think it's going to be Bobby Bowden.
They waited till they won the Gator Bowl. What bowl did they win?
The Gator Bowl.
Was it the Gator Bowl?
Now, I'm just wondering, because Bobby Bowden really wants to get to 400 wins. If UBC goes NCAA and goes Division II,
I bet you it's only NCAA Division I. And NCAA Division I AA doesn't count either.
I think it does, because he coached at Samford.
Oh, really?
Yes, they counted those wins, I think.
Okay.
So, we'll see. Who knows? Maybe even if you coach UBC in Division II, it'll count.
So Bobby Bowden, a candidate here.
I'm just saying.
He's one of the four.
Along with, who else?
Well, Bob Stoops is still at Oklahoma. Yeah.
Well, Urban Meyer is supposedly taking a year off or something.
Maybe he'll come here, eh?
You know, a little less crazy here. Yeah.
Bill Cowher still looking for a job?
That's true. Well, it can't be all three of those guys because we already know the other two.
I'll stick with Urban Meyer and Bobby Bowden. I like that one right there.
So we'll see. Maybe Bobby Bowden will sign a 10-year contract until he's 90.
All right. So you're going with Bobby Bowden. I'll go with Sean Olsen.
Sure.
All right.
I love my college football. What can I say?
Yeah, no kidding. Wilson, thank you very much for coming in today. So, the athletic director, that was very interesting. You know, we're hoping to have an answer here about the schedule of what's going on during the Olympics. Nobody's got a goddamn clue. Not UBC's fault.
No, no.
Not UBC's fault, but now we are just... Yeah, that's. I'm glad we asked that, actually. I didn't realize it was going to be that chaotic of an answer. And
we just want to know. We want to know where we're going to broadcast the games. Yeah. We want to broadcast the game.
And the football... January 20th, my birthday.
Is it?
Yeah, they're going to be a new coach.
That's here. A Wednesday.
Yeah, there'll be a new coach.
Too bad it's not a Tuesday.
No, I'm golfing on my birthday. Oh. That's the plan, so.
So who's going to text you with the awesome news?
Wilson Wong.
Unless they're going to break in programming first.
All right, everybody, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada. When we're back, we're going to talk to Vern Knopp, assistant coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team, men's basketball team. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
Stewie, hey.
Hey there. So, it's been 24 hours. Got my money?
Oh, you know what? Just give me till next Friday. I'll have it for you.
Oh, that's funny. I could have sworn I said have it today.
Yeah, I don't have it. Sorry.
Oh, well, all right then. That's good, OJ. Yeah, that hurt. That hurt.
What the hell?
Yeah, it feels so good.
Thank you to all the donors who pledged their financial support during the CITR on-air fund drive. We are moved by your generosity, and thank you for enabling us to purchase new equipment and improve our programming. Do remember to stop by the station, pay your pledges, and pick up your prizes. We look forward to meeting you anytime between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on weekdays. Thank you again for your amazing response. Listen to our happy voices on the air.
Well, the party is off to a good start. Guests are on time. Everyone's out to have fun and to help others fun.
What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
UBC students have an alternative. Looking to unwind? Check out one of the sub's two licensed establishments.
The Gallery Lounge is your location for a wide variety of draft beers at student-friendly prices. Come to the gallery for a relaxed atmosphere and great food, including the famous pizza pretzel. Fellow students provide the entertainment with weekly open mic and karaoke nights. The gallery is located on the main concourse of the sub and open Monday through Saturday till 1 a.m. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society. Guess you better find your way back
home. Brittany! Hit me, baby, one more time. Xtina! What a girl wants, what a girl needs, whatever makes me happy sets you free. Mariah! Ooh.
CITR, where you'll hear none of those divas. CITR 101.9 FM, where the only divas you're likely to hear are Kathleen.
Suck my left one!
The Amanda. Lydia.
Would somebody please inform the U.S. government that my uterus is not open to public debate?
CITR 101.9 FM, your true divas.
If it makes noise, it has some merit.
He creates this outcry, this clamor. He creates this nightmare of noise.
If it makes noise, it has some merit.
He's a sonic mess, basically. The discordant notes are just a hubbub, a cacophony.
If it makes noise, it has some merit.
He creates a disturbance because he's basically disturbed.
If it makes noise, it has some merit.
Basically, this is a worthless racket. The man is mentally incompetent.
For the most ear-splitting forays into noise, prog, early industrial, no wave, plunderphonic, psych, and altogether way out sound, tune into A Noise with your host Luke Meat every Wednesday from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM. A Noise, music that isn't in its right mind.
Look at what's happened to me. I can't believe it myself. Suddenly I'm up on top of the world. It should have been somebody else.
Believe it or not, we're talking about sports.
I never thought I could feel so free.
Could it be? Believe it or not, it's just me. CITR Sports, please listen.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Winter's Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Our first show of the decade. the decade here to come. Lots going on here on UBC campus this weekend in the world of athletics. The UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team, which is off to a outstanding start in the 09-10 season, they will be hosting this weekend the University of Brandon, which comes in with a record of 5-5, and the University of Regina, who has a record of 4-4. It'll be Regina on the Friday and Brandon on the Saturday. UBC currently ranked number one in the nation. As for the UBC Thunderbird women, they will also, of course, be playing. They start at 6. The men start at 8. The UBC Thunderbird women have a record of 5-3, second in the Canada West Pacific Division as we speak. And they will be taking on the University of Regina. They are 7-1, and the University of Brandon 1-9. We're going to take one more quick break. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
Want to know what's going on around town? LiveMusicVancouver.com is the Lower Mainland's comprehensive source for live music listings. We've got more than 350 shows listed at any time, and our listings are updated continuously by hundreds of the very people who put on the shows you love. Artist information and MP3s are accessible right from the listings, as are maps and calendars for virtually every venue in the city. All this and tons more totally free at LiveMusicVancouver.com.
Hi, I'm Bryant Reeves of the Vancouver Grizzlies, and you're listening to CITR 101.9.
Welcome, everybody, back to Winter's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM. Sorry for that little thing as I was rambling on there and had to go to a quick break. And the reason is the man I am talking to wasn't answering his phone.
Sorry, I got into the World Junior game there, Canada,
what's
U.S.
What's the score, Vern?
1-0 Canada. They scored in the first couple minutes.
Was it Jordan Schrader?
No, that's George Schrader plays for the U.S., Daryl.
Was it Jordan Schrader? I root for Jordan Schrader in that game.
Yeah, he's looked good. He had one good scoring chance. So
good.
Canada's up 1-0.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear.
Yep, no, we're playing well.
Well, Vern, you are the second guest of the new decade. So
second guest. I'm not your first. Unbelievable.
I had the athletic director, Bob Phillip, on.
Well, I guess that's...
Trying to figure out what the hell's going on with the hiring of the football coach.
What is the word on that?
Well, you've got the forecast. It was delayed a month.
Yeah, I know that part.
Due to reasons. And you're going to be having the interviews the week of January the 18th, pretty much.
Wow.
Hoping to have the new coach hired by January 20th. So.
Oh, okay.
And in the meantime, you'll probably be losing out on a few more recruits.
Well, yeah, it's definitely a big possibility, I guess.
Well, who knows? Who knows? With us on the line right now, Vern Opp, assistant coach for the UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team. How's your college bowl watching going, Vern?
Not too bad. Kind of, a little disappointed in the game last night. I was happy to see Boise State win, but it wasn't the most entertaining game, I thought. It was kind of a little bit sloppy, I guess, but still a close game, so it was somewhat entertaining, but looking forward to the game Thursday night, so should be, I think, a fairly close game.
I think Alabama's going to run all over them.
I think Alabama will win, but I don't think they're going to run all over them. Texas has been there before. Mac Brown's always had a well-coached team, and that's what people thought a few years back when USC was supposed to roll all over them, and Texas ended up rolling all over them. So I think it'll be an entertaining game, but I think Alabama will win, though.
They had Vince Young back then, though.
Yeah, another quarterback I thought was overrated, but he played unbelievable in that game, without a doubt.
Yeah. With us on the line, Vern Opp, assistant coach, UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team, getting back underway this weekend, hosting the University of Regina and the University of Brandon. Vern, are you the only guy on the team without a tan right now after all the players and coaches went to Hawaii?
Pretty much, although judging by a few of our guys with a lack of tan, you wouldn't even know, I guess, for some guys. So.
Some guys have the look go, though, hey?
Yeah, some guys are pretty dark. So
pretty dark.
Hopefully it wears off quick so I kind of blend in again.
There you go. Jealous, Vern?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Very much so.
Vern, you guys are the number one ranked team in the country right now. You got a lot of those. You got 41 out of a potential 42 votes, according to my calculations, for first place in the entire nation. Does this mean anything for you guys?
Absolutely not. It really does. I mean, it's good in the sense that when it comes to seeding at nationals, that we've been ranked number one. It can help us in that regard. It's always nice to be honored to be ranked in the country and to be number one. It is kind of, it's nice, but it in the grand scheme of things, it means absolutely nothing. It's not really even talked about with our team.
And then, Vern, the other one I want to ask you about is, I was speaking to Bob Phillip earlier, and the other topic we brought up was what's going on with the playoffs with regards to men's basketball, women's basketball, and women's volleyball when the Olympics are going on. Have you heard what's going on?
The latest I heard was a few months ago. Everyone, we have to have a, when it comes to Final Four and whatnot, we have to have an alternate site. And if we end up hosting the Final Four, our alternate site, from what I last heard, would be UBC Okanagan up in Kelowna.
Well, what's happening, Vern, is nobody has any idea what's going on.
Oh, well, that's the last I heard. Probably be the logical thing, because you can't really play anywhere in the Lower Mainland.
Is what I heard is your athletic department 2 years ago brought this up to the Canada West,
mm-hmm.
and the Canada West really up to this point hasn't done anything about it.
Oh,
so everybody's in limbo.
I guess we are then, Jim. But that's what I heard. That would be the most logical site is to go up to Kelowna. So.
There you go. Okay, Vern. Let's get into your basketball team taking on the University of Brandon and the University of Regina this weekend. Brandon coming into the games with a record of 4-4. Regina with a record of Brandon 5-5. Regina 4-4. Tell us about these teams and You know, one thing I'll say about the first half of the season, besides Trinity Western, I think you never really got tested by any of the top teams. How does Brandon and Regina match up? It seems by the standings, they seem like pretty average teams, at least based on the standings.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I disagree with you. I thought Saskatchewan gave us a good test. I mean, their record is, although it doesn't show quite a bit, I think when it's all said and done, they're going to be they'll be in the thick of things as it comes down the stretch. But other than that, Regina and Brandon are two teams that we played there last year. Gave us, I know Brandon, we fell behind early in the game, I think as much as 14, and we were able to pull it out in the second half. A really athletic team. Look to run up and down the court in the open court fast break. Not really great at slowing it down and playing a half court game. Regina's—they got a couple big kids that that gave us all sorts of problems in the post last year. And Hushka and Jamal, where they just gave us fits, basically beat us up inside on the boards and. There's also a team where they got a bunch of guards that can shoot the three really well, and they've always been a good shooting team. Kind of ironic where last year we were number one and we went into Regina and actually lost it their first week as being number one. So hopefully we got a little payback on our minds as far as I hope the boys do anyway, so I'm playing them on Friday night.
Brandon was here for the Canada West Final Four last year, correct?
Yes, they were. Yeah. We didn't get a chance to. Do we play them? I can't remember now. Yeah, we played them first game and actually beat them.
Yeah.
They lost a few players from that team, although they have Canada West All-Conference Danny Charlie coming back as well, who's one of the better players in Canada and is definitely a player to be watched.
Yeah, tell us about Danny Charlery. I remember this guy from last year, 22 points per game, 6 rebounds, but I recall this being a guy who can definitely shoot that ball and really create on his own.
Yeah, he's really good at putting the ball on the floor and getting to the hoop. If you give him time, he can shoot the three. Just really an all-around talented player, plays one of their better defensive players, has given us trouble in the past, so he'll definitely be the main focus for our defense.
And Regina, this is a team that relies on their big men, Heshka and Williams, as you said?
Yeah, they especially against us, they seem to just, every time we play them, they just always seem to put up big numbers against us, so that'll be a big priority. And they got the one shooting guard, can't think of his name right now, Kolominski or something to that effect, kind of over my head right now, but
Lukomski,
sorry, yes, that's the guy, where he's just got really deep range, can just shoot lights out from one of the better shooters in Canada. Again, a guy that can that has given us had some good games against us in the past, so we'll definitely be looking to key on him as far as the guards go. But the main thing is limiting their posts, scoring inside, and definitely keeping them off the boards, where I believe they just destroyed us on the boards last year at their place.
Vern, your basketball team, of course, after that 7-0 start, you are going to have much tougher of a schedule here in the second half of the year, and it really seems to get harder. I mean, the game I'm circling, January 23rd, you travel to Calgary, then right after that, you go to SFU for two, then you host UVic for two to end the year. Actually, then you end the year hosting Trinity Western. I mean, it's going to be some great rivalry games at that point. You know, I've gone off on you on the schedule, Vern. It's an awful schedule this year. It's a total joke. Gets really good at the end, but big deal. This team, is that really how you guys are looking at it? Is getting ready to peak really by the end of January? Or how are you guys approaching it as a coaching staff? Because as I've been talking to the team, everybody says you guys haven't peaked yet.
No, and you know, it's one of the things Coach Hansen's always been very good at, is just always trying to peak at the right time, which is, you know, playoff time. And you know, we're not really looking ahead to any one series. They're all going to be tough series. I mean, even a team like Fraser Valley, lots of young talent. I would totally agree with you, where it is very much a tougher schedule in the second half, but something we're definitely looking forward to, the competition and to really see where we stand in BC and Canada West.
Vern, how's the rest of the Canada West shaping up so far? I mean, you look at the standings, you see Calgary's 8-2, that's expected, but SFU 6-1, their final year in the Canada West before going NCAA Division II. You surprised with that number?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I think to some degree they've had a bit of a, they've, like us, had a bit of an easier schedule to start the season. You know, they caught a huge break with Calgary with Ross Beckering being injured that game and not playing, which basically takes out probably, you know, 18 points and 10 rebounds away from Calgary. He is their main cog, and so I think they kind of caught a break with that. But, you know, they've like us, they've won the games that have been in front of them, and although they are a bit of a surprise, they're playing hard and they're starting to believe in themselves. So it'll definitely be a matchup in the future that we'll be looking forward to.
Terrific. Vern, thanks so much for doing this. Give me your NFL picks this weekend.
Oh, NFL picks.
Yeah, give me your NFL picks.
Tough. I'll go with, let's see. I'll take Cincinnati at home against the Jets.
Okay.
I think Baltimore's going to pull off the upset in New England.
Disagree there.
Yeah, I know. But I think just the way the season's gone, Brady's passing percentage is only 53% passing completion when Wes Welker's not in the lineup. So I think that's going to give them all sorts of problems. And Baltimore is a veteran, especially their defense. There are a lot of veterans on that team. With that said, I think it'll be a close game, but I got a feeling that Baltimore might just pull off the upset. And Baltimore actually should have won earlier this year. They had a chance, but the receiver dropped a crucial fourth down ball, which would have kept the drive alive. But not to get too carried away. In the NFC, I would go with the Arizona Green Bay one. I find is really intriguing, but I'm going to go with a bit of surprise. I think everybody's kind of jumping on the Green Bay bandwagon. I don't think Arizona showed them anything last week, so I'm going to go with the home team there in Arizona. And then I'm going to take Philly on the road beating Dallas.
I'll agree with you, except for New England.
Yeah.
There you go.
Maybe that kind of scares me if you're agreeing with me.
Hey, I was right on. I called you to bet on that game yesterday.
Yeah, you did, and we both like Boise, though. So
we both like Boise.
But I think too much. It's so tough in the NFL to beat a team twice in a row, let alone 2 weeks in a row, or in Dallas's case, trying to have to beat Philly three times in a row. I just think there's too much talent on Philly to go down, and same with the other teams. I think they're all home. They're all going to be looking forward to getting a little bit of payback.
Well, the other one I like, too, is Philly is a team that they're a great bounce-back team. They're a team that could just lay an egg and then come out and play as good as any team in the league the following week.
And Andy Reid, they've been to so many conference finals. They knew last week. I mean, it was for first place, but in the grand scheme of things, I don't think they showed them too much. And I just think it's another team that has a lot of veterans on defense. And with Donovan McNabb, I think they'll give them a tough game. So,
last one, Vern, and then we'll let you go. You know, just talking a little NCAA there. Have you heard it just before we get on to your second half of the year? Are you hearing anything about what's going on with the old UBC school?
No, I really haven't. You know, I was away a lot in December, and not being with the team in Hawaii, I didn't really get to hear much of the goings around, I guess you could say. So, no, I'm kind of in the dark with you, and you know, to me, it's not really at this point. It's our main focus is on what's happening now, and that's trying to win a CIS championship, and that's really our only goal right now.
Right. When does it start affecting your recruiting, though?
When is it, how does it affect it? Or I don't think it does. I think it's just, you know, we don't just recruit which league we're in. We recruit the whole UBC experience. And that's just something we, you know, we always talk on whether we go, you know, we tell kids right now, we're going to be in CIS next year, this year, next year. And then after that, it's possibly we could be going Division II, but you know, we tell them about it, but you know, we can only tell them as much as we know. And we just don't know enough right now.
All right, thanks for nothing there.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm there for.
Vern Knopp, assistant coach, UBC men's basketball, hosting Brandon and Regina this weekend. Vern, thanks for doing this. We'll do it soon.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, that was Vern Knopp, assistant coach, UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team. Always fun to have him on. All right, we're going to take a break. When we're back, we're going to delve into UBC Thunderbird men's hockey. Milan Dragicevic is going to be with us, the head coach of that team. 5-10-1 at the break. They've got 12 games to go. It's a bit of a hill to climb if they're going to make the playoffs. They've got two big home games this weekend versus the University of Regina. Regina 4-10. On the air. So if UBC is going to get off to a real big start here in the new decade. They've got a pretty good matchup to go right off the shoot. We're going to take a break. You're listening to 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada.
Every radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
My name is Natasha. I am a robot now. I am playing with my breast again. Nothing to do, nothing to do. Sometimes I listen to Misery Hour with Hans Close Wednesday at 11 before midnight. I don't think I like it.
Wednesday mornings on CITR from 8 to 10 a.m. It's the Suburban Jungle Show with your radio host, DJ Jack Velvet. Thrills, chills, excitement, and music. That's the Suburban Jungle Show, Wednesday mornings from 8 to 10 on 101.9 FM in Vancouver. You can also catch this show, streaming and podcast, at www.jackvelvet.net. Don't miss the Suburban Jungle Show, Wednesdays 8 to 10, 101.9 FM, CITR.
Stewie, hey.
Hey there. So, it's been 24 hours. Got my money?
Oh, you know what? Just give me till next Friday. I'll have it for you.
Oh, that's funny. I could have sworn I said have it today.
Yeah, I don't have it. Sorry.
Oh, well, all right then. That's good, OJ.
Ah!
Yeah, that hurt. That hurt.
What the hell?
Yeah, it feels so good.
Thank you to all the donors who pledged their financial support during the CITR on-air fund drive. We are moved by your generosity, and thank you for enabling us to purchase new equipment and improve our programming. Do remember to stop by the station, pay your pledges, and pick up your prizes. We look forward to meeting you anytime between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on weekdays. Thank you again for your amazing response. Listen to our happy voices on the air, happier after we purchase new equipment for our studios. Thanks again.
You got till 5 o'clock. You hear me? You got till 5 o'clock.
You freaking psychopath!
Clean yourself up.
Morning.
Good day to you, sir. Hey, wait a minute, what the hell? Getting real tired of you ducking me, man. Yeah?
Oh, my God.
Thank you to all the donors who pledged their financial support during the CITR on-air fund drive. We are moved by your generosity, and thank you for enabling us to purchase new equipment and improve our programming. Do remember to stop by the station, pay your pledges, and pick up your prizes. We look forward to meeting you anytime between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on weekdays. Thank you again for your amazing response. Listen to our happy voices on the air, happier after we purchase new equipment for our studios. Thanks again.
Oh, my God! All right, let's go to the bank.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Winners Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada. With us on the line for his first interview with our station of the decade, head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team, Milan Dragaseva. Coach, how you doing and Happy New Year?
Yeah, Happy New Year. Doing okay. We're just getting ready to play U of R coming up.
There you go. Coach, before we get into that, on the weekend you took on the McGill Redmen. You got a split. This is a top five ranked team in the country. Tell us about your team's performance on the weekend.
You know what? We were off for 3 weeks, and I thought we played pretty good. Saturday we lost 6-4. We were down 3-0, but I liked the character we showed the team back. and tied it up. It was 4-4 late in the game, and they got a couple late power play goals, and I thought we played hard. We outshot them 39-31, and then Sunday we came back with the vengeance, played a little tighter defensively, did a better job on the PK, and we were down 2-1 late in the game and managed to score two late goals and won a huge character win over a really good team.
There you go. Coach, this weekend taking on the University of Regina, obviously must-win games. Really, probably you need 4 points this weekend to keep any shot at the playoffs alive. Regina struggling like you guys the first half of the year. They're 4-10. You guys are 5-10-1. Tell us about the matchup and what I expect will be a weekend between two teams playing with a lot of desperation.
Well, we know that both teams know that if we lose one game, that probably our playoff hopes really take a diminish. And so we know we have to win Friday night, and the only chance to sweep is to win Friday night. And, I thought we've had some really good practices. We had two strong games against McGill. I think we're ready for them, no question. And we know that we have to sweep Regina. We made some lineup changes, made some adjustments for lines. And, Regina's going to come in here with desperate, but so are we.
Okay, Coach, I hear lineup changes, adjustments in lines. That's what you just said. Tell us what's going on there.
Well, a couple of things. We added Cam Brody on defense, number 27. He was a pickup for us at Christmas time. He played in Vernon last year. He won a Royal Bank Cup. He also went to Columbus's camp this year, main camp, before he got sick at the American Hockey League level. He's going to be in our top pairing with Matt Pepe. He's a big right-handed shot who's going to log a lot of minutes, and he's going to be really tough to play against the opposition's top line. The other lineup addition that we got Max Grassi back, who missed eight games. He played against McGill, was one of our better players. And we also got Daryl May back for the second half, who's been our top forward and top point producer for the last 4 years. And Daryl's back with the team for the second half of the season as well.
Whoa! Coach, that's those are some pretty big additions right there.
Well, we're happy with the additions that we got. Keith Boychuk is back. He's been healthy, and unfortunately we lost Nick Duff, but we picked up Cam Brody. So we feel that we've solidified our lineup. Francois Touat is healthy. He played really well against McGill, sort of Jordan White. We're very confident in our group. We have five lines and eight defensemen. And it's a competition to see who gets to play the games.
Coach, I got to talk about the addition of Daryl May. How did this come about? This, of course, was one of your leading scorers the last few years. Where has he been this year, and how did this all come about?
Well, Daryl went to Idaho in the East Coast Hockey League, and he tried out there, and he didn't get into any game time. And unfortunately, what happened was a bunch of players from American Hockey League came back, and Daryl's been keeping in touch with some of the guys, and last week he decided he wants to get into education next year and got a couple of classes to finish off, and he said, you know what, I might as well come back and play hockey, and he's been skating with us this week, and he hasn't played a game for 3 months, so it's been a while for him, but the way Daryl plays, he doesn't have to be at 100% game shape all the time. He's very smart and skilled, and he's going to add a different dimension on the power play and more depth in middle ice.
Who's Daryl May going to be playing with?
Well, right now I just got him practicing with three or four different forwards. But we're going to see how he does this week as far as game shape, game preparation, and then you'll probably see him in one of the games this weekend. And right now we're not sure. Our first three lines are pretty well set. And I don't expect Daryl to come in and just jump right off the bat and be the player that he was in the past. It's going to take him some time. But once that happens and he gets in better shape, then I fully expect him to take charge offensively.
Is it one of those situations with a guy like Daryl May? I believe, Coach, correct me if I'm wrong, he is in his fifth year of eligibility. Really no holding back with this player, is there?
Well, no. There's 12 games left, and he knows that. He's come back for a reason. He wants to come back. He wants to help... he wants to help us make a playoff run. He's led our team in points the last 4 years. So we've been missing the offensive cog to score goals in the power play, win some big faceoffs, and I think he can do that for us.
So, Coach, break us down what the lines are looking like for these games this weekend without Daryl May, we'll say, in those top three lines.
With that, left to right, Max Brassey with Campos on the right, and Justin McCray in the middle. That's going to be our top line. Really happy with that. And then our second line, Jeff Lynch on the left side, our captain, Matthew Schneider, another fourth-year guy in the middle, and Tyler Ruel. Very experienced line, very good defensive, but also can score goals. Tyler Ruel is leading our team in points right now. And then our energy shutdown line with Hamilton on the left, Ingles on the right, and Wasden in the middle. And then we have about five or six guys battling for the last three spots up front, and it's going to be interesting.
So Keith Vojtěchek currently not on one of those top three spots.
The reason why is just because of his injury situation right now. He has to practice. He has to get through a full practice. And, you know, definitely he's a top four forward for us. But right now he's just battling some injuries right now, and he'll be a game-time decision to see if he can play. But, you know, if he was 100% healthy, he'd be in the first line.
And, Coach, you mentioned that Frankie Tuat played very well on the weekend. Jordan White did also. Who's starting this weekend? I'm assuming it's Frankie Tuat.
Yeah, Frankie Tuat will get the start. He's the veteran guy. This is his last year with UBC. And we're going to give him the reins to see how he does on Friday night. And, you know, both goalies know that the guy that keeps winning and performing is the guy that's going to keep playing.
Cameron Brody, Coach, is this a guy? I just kind of looked him up here. Vernon Vipers also played with the Trail Smoke Eaters. I got the right guy here?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Not a lot of players get a tryout to the NHL from Junior A. And he did a 20, and that speaks volumes. He knows how to win. He's a character guy. He's already made a huge difference in practice at the compete level. Against McGill, he was one of our better defensemen. He closes the gap. It's a good shot, and he does everything hard. And he makes the other guys around him better, and we like that.
So, Coach, can I say that at the forward position, if Vojtěchek can be healthy and Daryl May can come in and contribute and maybe be that player he was, you know, as his last 4 years here at UBC, you'll actually have some depth at the forward position if some injuries occur, really?
We are going to have some depth. We're definitely happy. And, like Max Grassi missed the last 8 games. Vojtěchek's only played 2 games. You know, Daryl wasn't there the first half. We're going to have some depth. And it's and what it is, it's a competition for ice time. And it's like that on defense, too. So when that happens, everyone picks up their game a little bit. And it's the first time all year where we've had some healthy bodies.
Wow. So UBC going at against the University of Regina. Coach, very quickly, and we'll let you go. Thanks so much for doing this. Tell us about the matchup versus Regina on the weekend. Tell us about the Regina Cougars.
You know what? They're a really tight defensive hockey team. They don't give you much. They don't score a lot, but they don't give you very – they give you very little offensively. We got to chip the puck. We got to be smart on our cycle game, and we got to put everything to the net. And those are things that we're working on, is battling out of the corners, going hard to the net, stopping in front of the net, and getting really, really greasy goals. And that's how we have to play against them.
Yeah, Coach, you mentioned they don't score a lot. I look at their leading scorers here. Their leading guy, Tanner Schultz, 6 points in 13 games. He's actually tied with Craig Cuthbert and Mark Nelson with 6 points in 14 games. They're going to play pretty defensive, I bet, hey?
They play defensive, but looks can be deceiving, too. They're very opportunistic. They wait for teams to make mistakes, and they jump on those opportunities. And we just have to be very smart and manage the puck. And these are things that we've been working on. And most important is our power play has to get us at least a goal on Friday. And that's been struggling lately, but we've been working on it.
So playoffs, Coach, fair to say 4 points are bust if you don't do it this weekend?
Yeah, you know, no question, our guys know that. Calgary plays against Alberta, Saskatchewan gets a bye. If we sweep, then we're only 4 points out of a playoff spot. You never know.
Wow, all right, Coach Milan Dragicevic. Coach, thanks so much for doing this. Enjoy your new players, Coach.
Yeah, we're definitely happy.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks for doing this, Coach. See you on the weekend.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was Milan Dragicevic, head coach, UBC Thunderbird men's hockey. A couple additions there. Will it make the difference? Well, they're going to have to win this weekend. We'll see what happens. All right, everybody, we're going to take a quick break. Hoping to have actually Julio Caravata from the BC Lions Radio Network. We've been playing phone tag all day. Hopefully, Julio will pick up. You're listening to 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada.
Big government and big pharma have entered into a secret conspiracy in which secret government contracts are sold to big pharma that allow for secret chemicals to be placed in coffee seeds, all under the watchful eye of Big Coffee, who is secretly working with other world forces.
all in a sinister plot to get alien embryos in our coffee so Big Pharma can sell us alien contraceptive pills. Or, if you'd rather get some rational news, check out Radio Free Thinker, the radio show slash podcast that promotes skepticism, critical thinking, and science education. Every Tuesdays at 4 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
All right, with us on the line, a little phone tag there. Hey, Julia.
It was Daryl, actually.
Ah, terrific. With us on the line, Julio Caravata from the BC Lions Radio Network. Julio, thanks so much for doing this today.
Oh, no problem, Daryl. As always, pleasure. How you doing? The holidays are good, and
yeah.
You're glad it's over?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting. I was actually doing a lot of staying out late, we'll say, kind of at the beginning of December. By the time the end and middle of December came along, I was a little burnt out. I'm getting older.
Oh, tell me about it.
I'm getting older.
Hey, a lot of people ask you, oh, what'd you do for New Year's? Did you go out? Did you do it? So are you crazy? I don't think my wife or I, we both were asleep by 10 o'clock.
I went out.
Yeah, no. Hey, you know, all I can tell you is enjoy it.
Enjoy it, eh?
Enjoy it.
I'm hanging on by a thread, but enjoy hanging on by the thread,
exactly,
eh?
Exactly right.
It's one of those things, just you enjoy whatever you got, eh, Julia?
Yeah, well, once you get married and you start having kids, it all changes.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Who knows? With us on the line, Julio Caravata of the BC Lions Radio Network. This is really dragging on with me. We're still talking about the UBC Thunderbird head coaching position here.
Uh-huh.
What we're told is they're going to be interviewing these four candidates. Finally, I had Bob Phillip, the athletic director, on. These four candidates finally in the middle of January, and they're hoping to have a new head coach by January 20th. That's the date.
That's the drop-dead date.
That's the date. Now, I asked Bob Phillip, and he refuses to comment on any of the candidates, because I've been going, you know, all I can do really right now is sort of go on these message boards, and there are a bunch of posts that Dave Johnson, the head coach at SFU, you know how stupid these message boards can get, but whatever, yeah. A whole bunch of posts that he was one of the four final candidates. You can tell me that is absolute bullcrap, hey?
I would think that it's absolute bullcrap. You know, I mean, I think Dave is pretty happy where he is, and I've got a clear indication that, that program at UBC wants to go, in a fresh and new direction. And, I just think that, you know, and I still contend, Dino Jeremiah is one of my very best friends, and I think he'd be an outstanding coach. And, I know there's probably, you know, a couple of high profile guys that are going to be in the mix there. And, you know, I know you've heard Gary Etcheverry's name, and I wouldn't doubt that. Cause I know that he's one of those guys. Every time I see him, he always brings up UBC and he always brings up SFU because he's got such a desire to coach at one of those schools and be in Vancouver. So I know that he would be very, very interested in the UBC job, but, yeah. Everything and everybody that I talk to, everything points at Sean Olson. He's a guy that I think fits the bill for what they want to do there and how they want to turn it around. And not only that, though, too, it's about getting your alumni excited and getting them involved. And I think having a guy like Sean Olson there would definitely fit the bill on a lot of different levels. You know, he's a great young coach. He's been at UBC. He's got a loyalty there. And I think that the alumni would be excited about having a guy like Sean Olson back in the mix. And, you know, in college athletics, that's half the battle is getting that alumni involved. And I know that's what they've done at SFU. And that's one of the reasons why things have turned around there is that Dave Johnson came in there and got the alumni excited about what they're doing. And they got behind him and the recruiting effort and, you know, everything's changed. And I think that's, what Bob Phillips wants to do at UBC as well.
Well, Julia, I actually did speak to Sean Olson today.
Uh-huh.
And I just wanted to confirm with him because I was a little worried that people might be dropping out because of the one-month delay, especially because Sean Olsen is the offensive coordinator at SFU, and maybe they wanted him to figure out. He is still in the mix here, he told me. He told me that today.
Yeah, well, you cannot, if you're Dave Johnson, the head coach at SFU, are you really going to get in the way of Sean Olsen trying to advance his career and get an opportunity like, you know, the head coach at UBC at his age and where he is in his career? And I think that speaks volumes to the kind of person that Sean is and how far he's come, is that he's being considered as a head coach in the CIS. For a guy who's, you know, as far as a CIS level, has only been an offensive coordinator. He's been very successful, but, you know, I mean, he is relatively inexperienced at that point. I think, again, it speaks volumes to, you know, his character and what they feel about him. I think that the only disappointment about, you know, the delay is, you know, those four candidates have to know, you know, they obviously know who they are, and their employer knows who they are. So what do you do? I think there's just a little bit more kind of backroom dealing, in the sense that you have to prepare for the possibility that one of those guys is going to be there. So if you're Dave Johnson, I'm sure that he's, you know, talking with Sean Olsen all the time, and they're, you know, but in Dave Johnson's mind, he's got to have a plan B in place very, very quickly. Because of, you know, the recruiting and all the things that happen at that level, you have to get your coach up to speed and you know, going forward. So there's got to be a lot of things that are going to fall into place relatively, and not even relatively, they're going to fall into place very quickly once that person is named on January 20th.
And Julie, you mentioned your good friends with Dino Jeremiah. How tough of a situation, what can you tell me, is this for him right now? Because can you tell me, I mean, if he's not the head coach, is he even going to have a job here when all said and done at UBC?
Well, that's again, I mean, those are all the kinds of things that, you know, everybody who is potentially in the running for this, and if there's four guys in the running, then those are all things. You know, if Sean Olsen gets the job, he's got to have a plan in place right now that you know, where he's going to go with this. Is he going to go with Dino as his defensive coordinator and be the offensive coordinator? If Dino doesn't get that job, does he stay there? If any of those other guys take the job, who's going to be an offensive coordinator? Who's going to be a defensive coordinator? All those kinds of things come into play, right? And you're right. It is very difficult for a guy who's there right now, and all of a sudden a new coach comes in. You know, there has to be some you know, fear in that, you know, you might lose your job, and that the person who comes in may not want you. You know, what happens if they hire Gary Echeverry? Well, he's a defensive coordinator. What does he need a defensive coordinator for?
Right.
He needs an offensive coordinator. So you're right. It can have a big impact. And again, this is, and we talked about this before, Daryl, in before the new year, is that's what one of the things about the delay really, really put some of these guys in a real tough spot, because, you know, a lot of these guys, they have to commit to their, you know, their current jobs, and to have delayed it for that month really puts the person in a real tough bind. You know, like, as I said, Dino's a very, very good friend of mine, and I know he'd be in a tough spot being at the end of January in 2010 and not have a job, and then all of a sudden expect to go out there and find a job. Because a lot of times, you know, coaches come in at the beginning of the year and they've got all that stuff in line and they're going forward, right? So all the coaching staffs are set. They want to, you know, move forward. And, you know, sometimes you leave a guy hanging at the end of January, it may be tough for him to get a job.
Well, one other thing, Julio, back to Sean Olsen, and, you know, he's my vote for getting this job.
He would be my vote, too.
Yeah, he's my vote. And one other thing, though, talking to him today, he basically kind of said where he thinks he could also be a great fit here. He sort of just said this to me kind of in passing, and it kind of struck me when he said it, is UBC, chances are, from what I'm hearing, 2 years from now, they're going to be NCAA like SFU. Well, here's a coach, and he says there's a lot of crazy things that have gone on at SFU football in this transition. Well, here's a coach, and he's the only coach who they'd be able to hire who's actually gone through it.
Gone through the change.
The transfer.
From CIS to, to the NCAA.
He's the only guy they can hire who has experience in that regard.
Yeah.
So there's another advantage.
But here's the thing, too, though. You know, I mean, you're going to hire Gary Echeverry. He's coached at the NCAA level.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, and he's also coached the CIS level, has he not?
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, I mean, he's a guy that easily could make that transition as well.
Okay.
Shoot, you know,
me down. That's fine.
Well, no, I just think that what ends up happening, I think, you know, is that you, you know, I'm sure that Sean's probably going to use that to his advantage as well, right?
Yeah.
In an interview process that, yeah, he's gone through it. He understands it, blah, 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 because that's obviously a question that's going to come up, right? But, you know, I think this is the one thing about when you start looking at things like this, ultimately, a coach is a coach. And all good coaches and great coaches can adapt and you know, go through different types of situations. And that's what Sean or any coach is going to have to do. If they go from CIS to NCAA, you know, I mean, it's a pretty steep learning curve, but you're going to have to go through it. And all good coaches are able to make that transition.
Yeah. I think, Julie, what Sean said is it's the getting the program to transfer from CIS to NCAA. He's actually done that, if that makes sense, sort of.
Yeah.
So, hey, well, no big deal.
I don't think it's that big a deal. I mean, well, you know, I mean, seriously, though, Daryl, yeah. You mean, what's that? You mean, I would imagine that Bob Phillips would have more to do with the transfer of the program from CIS to the NCAA than a coach, would he not?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably way more paperwork and more stuff like that they have to deal with. And ultimately, the head coach has to coach.
Cool. Julio, the other one is, I just want to bring this up to you, with the NCAA, with SFU, I was told that they had about over 100 applicants for that defensive coordinator position.
Yeah.
Do you
yeah.
hear something like that too?
Well, I can tell you this, that I know I saw Dave Johnson at the high school final, you know, there in the first week of December. And, you know, we were talking, and he had mentioned to me, you know, with Lou Delorier, you know, leaving the defensive coordinator, you know, there, a lot of things can happen. And he just said, you know, he just quickly kind of, you know, put a out on a couple of, you know, websites that the job may be available. And, you know, if you're interested, to forward your resume
SFU.
To SFU. And he said that he had, in within 4 hours, I think he had 25 people already.
Is it the cachet of the NCAA? What's that about?
What's that?
Is it
about- I think, too, like, you know, if you really start wrapping your head around that, Daryl, think about it. How many programs run the NCAA football program?
Probably.
We're talking Division I, Division II, Division III. How about NAIA? Right? So if you're going to coach at the NCAA level, you know, there's a lot of guys who are defensive back coaches, who are, you know, linebackers coaches, defensive line coaches, all those kinds of positions that would love an opportunity to be a defensive coordinator. So you think about all the programs, you think about all the graduate assistants that are at huge programs that want to start out. Well, to get a defensive coordinator's job, whether or not it's in Vancouver or whether or not it's in, you know, Gainesville, you know, it's the position and the experience that you get. And that's what a lot of guys are looking for, is that experience. I mean, that, to be a defensive coordinator or an offensive coordinator at an NCAA program, that looks pretty good on your resume.
Awesome. Great stuff. Julio, thank you so much for doing this at the last second.
All right, buddy. As always, hey, no problem, buddy.
Very much appreciated. So, Julio, last thing, though, you think Sean Olson's getting this position?
I think so. Yeah, you mean that? I think it's a no-brainer.
Awesome.
I really do.
Julio, thanks for doing this. I'll see you soon.
Yeah, take care. See ya.
All right, that was Julio Caravata of the BC Lions Radio Network as the search for a UBC Thunderbird men's football coach continues. All right, everybody, that is it. I'm done. First show of the decade in the books. Mike with Flexure Head. How you doing, Mike? I'm tired. I am tired. I got to go home. I you know what? I rented The Shining yesterday. And I thought, like, I've never seen it before, but I'm pretty sure I've seen it a bunch of times before. I've just never watched it in one sitting, I think.
I rarely watch the whole thing from start to finish, but once it's on, I watch it.
You watch it, eh? You watch it. Anyways, I don't know. Any World Junior score? You got anything? Or?
Before I got out of the car, it was tied at 2.
Tied at 2? Second period's probably going on right now, eh? All right, I'm going to go watch it. Okay, thanks for listening. Have a great night, everybody.
Stewie, hey.
Hey there. So, it's...